We have gathered this morning for a phase of our worship, which is the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We have examined it in detail, that this is time to apply what we learn. Just a way of quick review, we need to say first that the Lord's Supper is for the purpose of commemorating the Lord Jesus Christ, as what he said when he instituted it. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So several facts come to mind as we celebrate it. We should remember that Jesus Christ died for our sins and so made it possible for us to have eternal life. We should think about the sufferings on the cross, what he underwent, his humiliation, everything that he underwent to bring us eternal salvation. We should also recognize that the celebration is really the coming together of the church in participation in Christ. Thirdly, we should remember that it's an occasion that's mixed. In one way, there's a sorrow when we look back at what he went through. But then it's joyful when we recognize his victory over death, his return to heaven. And so, it is a celebration that also calls for us to be to approach it in a worthy manner. Being that means that you, as a believer, has to change your soul to see if there is any sin unconfessed, so that you deal with it. Because any unconfessed sin, and a person approaches this, that person, as we've studied also, is buying for himself or herself God's discipline. And some, as we studied, some died after celebrating this occasion because they took it lightly. Some, of course, got sick. So either way, the only way to avoid God's judgment is to approach it in awe of the Lord. And part of being reverential to him is ensuring that we do not approach this under any cloud of sin. For that reason, we'll spend a few moments to let you deal and check your soul before we continue. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this privilege that your Son has given us to commemorate his death and resurrection, his work that provided our eternal salvation, to think about him. So as we celebrate the cup and we celebrate the body, we recognize that unless you enable us, we cannot really focus. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to be focused as we celebrate first the body that was given on our behalf. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you take your first part out. In the night, just before our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread after offering thanks and says, "Eat, this represents my body." Again, Father, we are thankful for the body that was given on our behalf. As we continue to celebrate the cup, we also pray that you give us the ability to still focus on our Savior. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. As usual, I will give you some time to meditate on the significance of the cup that we are about to partake. So I give you some time, think about it. You get it? Move the top part now. In the same fashion, our Lord took the cup, and after offering thanks, says, "Drink from it, all of you."
Y'all would stand, 186, the old cross, old rugged cross. Cherish the old rugged cross.
Before the break, we had introduced the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we said that that some take the view that the 12th chapter is concerned with spiritual gifts, but that we take the view that it is concerned with spiritual matters. And we said because there are five issues the apostle discussed related to the Holy Spirit in this chapter. The first one, the essential knowledge about spiritual matters in verses 1 through 3. The second, distribution related to spiritual matters in verses 4 through 6. The third, spiritual gifts discussed verses 7 through 11. The fourth, unity and diversity in the Church of Christ in verses 12 through 26. And finally, in verses 27 through 31, the apostle discusses some offices in the Church of Christ. For that reason, for the reasons I've given, we take the view that this 12th chapter is concerned with spiritual matters. Now, the apostle, of course, was concerned with knowledge the Corinthians should have about spiritual matters. Based on all that, we derive the message of 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 3, to be that you should be well informed about spiritual matters to avoid any spiritual deception. Now, we indicated that those addressed are believers in Christ because of the word brothers, that we say refers to brothers and sisters in Christ, and not, it's not a matter of gender. Now, we also indicated that teaching in general is intended to dispel ignorance, especially as it regards to the spiritual matters or matters related to the Holy Spirit. Now the apostle expresses desire to dispel ignorance, negatively of course, because in verse 1 he says, I do not want you to be ignorant. So we said that we need to review then the doctrine of ignorance, which we started, and I indicated that we're only going to look at two aspects of what we studied in detail in the past, and that will be the reasons for ignorance and the consequences of ignorance. So we indicated that being concerned with this issue of ignorance, that there are reasons why people become ignorant. And the first one we indicated is the fall. Because of the fall, ignorance kept in, ignorance of God, of course, crept into mankind. But we really emphasize the fact that, in effect, sin darkened human's understanding. So we do not have adequate knowledge of God or seek to know Him, as implied then by the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. That's where we stop and that's where we pick up. He reads, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that the Jews and the Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All this because of our ignorance. So the apostle indicates that no one understands God's truth or what is right. Now this is because of the sin that controls humans. That is why I indicated it's important as a believer to keep going to the scripture. Don't ever get led by an unbeliever. I don't care what position they hold in this planet. Don't ever be led by them, because they cannot be telling you what is in accordance with truth, because their understanding is darkened by sin. Only when a person is regenerated and dispel the ignorance that we have, we can say things that are correct. Now, so if we do not understand because of the effect of sin, then it is proper to assert then that the fall into sin became the beginning point of ignorance of God and His person among humans. Now, since the fall, sin has continued to darken human understanding as it relates to God. Now this is implied in a passage that we will cite also later. But for now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. And we're coming back to that. Before we're over this study today, we will come back to that passage. He reads, they are darkened. Who are they? Unbelievers. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. See, this is where I keep emphasizing, because I do see a lot of Christians are being deceived in this country today. Where am I there enough? You know, wavering about what is true and what is not. The thing that we have to go back to is the way the enemy plays his trick is this. He will always throw in a little bit of something that is true, then camouflage it with all lies, and you buy it. Because they've thrown in a little bit of truth. That's the way he walks. That's what he did with the woman in the garden. So, for that reason, it is important to be very cautious of what comes out of an unbeliever. So anyway, the first reason for ignorance then is the fall of humanity into sin. A second reason for ignorance is failure to learn about God and His Word. Now, a person who fails to learn is in a very pitiful state. Now, this assertion, of course, is implied in what is written in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Proverbs 19, verse 27 reads, "Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Once you stop getting instruction, you're done. You're doomed, really. Now, there's always hope for those who learn in any area, but more importantly, in the spiritual area of life. That it is failure to learn that leads to ignorance is proven right with the spiritual condition of Israel in the time of most of their kings. Soon after David. Now Israel repeatedly fell into idolatry and its related practices because they were no longer knowledgeable about what is the law, or they were ignorant of the content of the law. Now this, the ignorance of the people of Israel in the time of their kings, was evident in the surprise and response of King Josiah after the book of the law was discovered and read to him, according to 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 through 13. Second Kings chapter 22. We read from verses 8 through 13. Second Kings, chapter 22, beginning at verse 8. It reads, "Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, 'I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord.' He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, 'Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple.' Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, 'Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book.' And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, 'Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Akbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah, the king of the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us.'" Now see, for one thing, we do see somebody has to be, first of all, hungry, eager to know God somewhere after regeneration. That was the case with Josiah, that he wanted to rebuild the temple. Had he not commissioned that, they wouldn't have found his book, the book of the law. But look at his reaction when he had the content. He humbled himself, clearly, because that's one way to show humility, is tearing your robe and so on. So the knowledge of what is in the book of the law led them to a spiritual awakening of the time of King Josiah. Thus, we can state then, when there is no learning, people fall into ignorance. The people didn't know about the law. They didn't know about the book. They were just going by whatever sounds good, whatever, by their whims, as you say. That's the problem. We can't do that. There's a standard that we can't get our eyes off of. No matter what, no matter the noises around us, you should never get out your focus on the scripture. It's unpopular, but you must do so as a believer. They will think you are from a different planet, and you say, yes, for really, I am from a different planet, although I'm living here, but I'm not really from here. I'm from heaven, and I'm going to go back there one day. So, but when you do that, when you stick by it, they would label you all kinds of things anyway. There's a point, though, is that once there's no learning, people fall into ignorance. Now, this is also confirmed in the charge of Yahweh to Israel through prophet Hosea. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It reads, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." So Israel's lack of knowledge is the same as being ignorant of God's word that will enable them to develop the right relationship with their God instead of being involved in idolatry. Now, furthermore, they rejected whatever is taught to them, hence the destruction Yahweh brought to Israel. Now, one of the things that I have found amazing to me is this. Once you hear this truth, you can dismiss it all you want. Ignore it. Do what you want. It will come back and haunt you. That's something is inescapable. Now, there are many things I've taught here, especially that it rubs against the grain of what you've been used to all your life. Like, take for example, I talked about how Christmas trees are idolatry, and some of you got involved in it. They ignored me, said, he didn't know what he was talking about. And I want to say, I do hear things. And all those that thought I was joking have not escaped it today. They are being haunted one way or the other because they invited idolatry into their homes. We can't do that. You can't hear the truth and say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about. But it's not my word. It's his word. And that's the one you have to account to, not to me. So it is important. Israel here, they heard their prophets. They ignored them. And that's why the Lord reigned what he did. So the point, though, is that a second reason, therefore, ignorance is failure on the part of people to learn the word of God. We are today facing great ignorance of the word of God because believers are failing to learn the word of God. I am convinced that we are witnessing another fulfillment of what Yahweh communicated to prophet Amos in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It is, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Notice the next thing. Not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. I believe that's being fulfilled today. Part of it. We are living in a time of famine of the word. The famine of hearing the word of God included, of course, lack of teaching of the word of God and the obedience to it that we are facing today. Now, many believers do not want to be taught the word of God in detail and accurately. Consequently, we have a few teachers of God's word. Now, thing is, when people don't want it, God doesn't provide many teachers. So this, what we do now have is just a lot of shallow things. Thus, in keeping with what we're seeing is in keeping with what the Holy Spirit conveyed through the Apostle Paul about people in the latter days. Now, I want to give you a rule of thumb to use. Whenever you hear something and it appeals to your human nature, you better think twice. Whenever you hear something and it appeals to the human instinct, you better think twice as how true that thing is. Because the truth usually overturns us, causes us to be uncomfortable, wants us to fight and justify ourselves. That's what truth does. So whenever you hear something, I don't care from where it's coming from, and it goes along with what you can do as a human being, natural person, you better think twice. You may not be hearing the truth. Truth has the ways of unraveling all of us. So if it doesn't rattle you, he may not have been hearing the truth. But once it starts rattling you, that may be the truth that you're hearing. That's a rule of thumb that you can use. Because of the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Second Timothy, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is what it reads. For the time will come when men, when I say men here, I mean people, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, things that are not founded in the scripture. And that's what we're experiencing today. Many believers do not want to be taught the truth of God's word. It is because of this situation that there is a general ignorance of the word of God among many Christians. Now some are content to live in their prejudices and superstitions than to be taught the word of God. And so the truth is that when people refuse to learn the word of God, then ignorance of God reigns supreme. It goes hand in hand. You learn the truth, you dispel ignorance. You don't, you keep wallowing in ignorance and think you are doing well. Until one way or the other, the Lord reminds you through sickness, judgment of one form or the other, to remind you, you've been playing with Him. A third reason for ignorance is related to the first, which is because of the specific sin of bitterness or hatred. That is one of the things that will cause ignorance. If you have bitterness and hatred in the soul, then it will be difficult to remove ignorance in your life. Now that ignorance goes with bitterness of soul, is what the psalmist alludes to in Psalm 73, verses 21 through 22. Psalm 73, verses 21 through 22. Psalm 73, verses 21 through 22. Of course, you know it's on website, because we'll study this in detail. All these verses, and I think 26 verses, we've studied it in detail. Anyway, it says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, that's bitterness or hatred, bitterness, I was senseless and ignorant. You see what happens? I was a brute beast before you. You cannot have bitterness of soul, hatred, and not be in ignorance. It's just not going to happen. So the psalmist, because of his bitterness, or even hatred of the wicked, because of their apparent prosperity, was in a state. He did not know God's character, as he questioned in his mind why the wicked will prosper and the righteous suffer. Without bitterness, he might have thought otherwise, but bitterness enhanced his ignorance of God's character. Many people, because of bitterness in their soul, are not willing to expose themselves to truth. So anyway, hatred or bitterness of soul will keep a person ignorant of God's word, especially if a person hates the teacher of God's word. Thus then, a third reason for ignorance of God's word is the specific sin of bitterness or hatred directed towards a teacher of God's word. A fourth reason for lack of for ignorance is lack of humility, or due to pride or fear, that causes a person that hears something the individual does not understand to fail to ask the questions for clarification. Now, I admit I don't call a few for, I call more selected people for some reasons, because I do have some justification in my mind about most people I don't call. But most time when I call through the week, beginning on Sunday, is usually if you have a question to clarify it. That's usually why I call. And it's not just a chit chat, as they say. No, I usually, that's my purpose. Anyway, so for clarification. Now, this reason was particularly true of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that on several occasions they had him declare about his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection. They did not understand him, but because of fear, they refuse to ask questions. So they remain in their ignorance. And a good example, we read one part of it in the first section, but a good example is given in Mark chapter 9, verses 31 through 32. Mark chapter 9, verses 31 through 32. Mark chapter 9, verses 31 through 32 reads, because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But look at that. But they did not understand what he meant. and we're afraid to ask him about it. They didn't understand. They didn't ask questions. So you see, the disciples did not understand the Lord's prediction about his death and resurrection. But because of fear, they remained ignorant. Now, this is a problem with many of us. We become so arrogant that we're afraid to let people know that we're ignorant. Now, the way I say it, there is nothing shameful about admitting that one does not know something. There's nothing shameful about it. It is worse, though, to pretend to know when in fact the person is in ignorance. That's the worst case. So anyone willing to remove ignorance must be ready to humble self. We are very ignorant in many ways, but that does not mean that we should like it. Only that it shows we are humans with limited knowledge. We should remember this fact that we all have ignorance all over our lives. So that should help us when we deal with others. You may have knowledge in a particular area and be very ignorant in others. So again, they should help us to be patient, to answer questions people ask who are ignorant of the subject in which we possess knowledge. When I used to teach in the university, there were three important rules I enforced in my classes that I tell the students the very first day of every semester. The very first time, the first hour I go there. These rules were no lateness. That means you can't come late. I have a class that says 8 o'clock in the morning. By 8:01, I shut the door. I said, go to the president if you don't like it. And I remember one of the young men eventually told me after he had graduated, went to work for Chevron. He came back, he was about 6'8". And he said, I thought you were joking. I just couldn't see how the small man would do that. He said, but you are serious. I said, yeah, I mean it. Because, you know, he didn't think, he was just 8:01. He was coming, shut the door. Why? That's rules. People have to learn to obey rules. So that's the first rule I say. No lateness. If you have signed a class that starts 9 o'clock, be there 9 o'clock. Any other thing? You're late. So that was my first thing I would tell them. Now the other thing was no talking in class. Not allowed. And the last one was no laughing at another student because of the question he or she asked. Now, I was particularly concerned about this last rule because many students, out of fear of being ridiculed, would not ask questions, even if they didn't understand it. So my point, though, is simply this. If you do not know and do not ask questions, then this is the worst condition a person can be in. So the best thing you should do if you hear information that is not clear to you is to ask questions to clear up any ignorance you may have. I having dealt with big shots in the industry before I came here, I know some of the things they went through. They were given instructions. They would say, okay. But they didn't understand what the instruction was, and they would go, they do something else. And it would cost the company a lot of money. All it could have been is, I didn't understand your instruction. Because no one, you know, people don't want to admit that. And to me, that is an expression of arrogance. If you don't understand, you don't understand. Don't be ashamed of that. You should be ashamed if after you've been told and you still remain ignorant, then you become ashamed. Anyway. So the like I said, the best thing is you don't understand, ask question. Now Daniel, when he received information from an angel that he did not understand, he asked questions for clarification, as we read in Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Daniel chapter 12, beginning at verse 8, reads, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the walls are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. In this particular case, the angel is saying, you're not supposed to know, understand what I'm saying, though, at this point until towards the end when this will become clear. He said, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. The Ethiopian eunuch did not understand what he read from the book of Isaiah and was not afraid to admit he did not understand. So he sought help from Philip the evangelist, as recorded in Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. It is, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the truth of the matter is, many times I've tried to convince people, you can read the Bible all you want, unless you have the gift of teaching, and also trained, not just having the gift of teaching, but trained, you're not going to grow by reading the Bible. You have some knowledge, but you're not going to grow through it. Somebody has to, with the gift of teaching, prepare to do so, teach it, explain it, so that you will grow by it. This is why, you know, this man said, I read, I don't understand. And that's always going to be the case until Christ comes back. Anyway. So anyway, we contend that lack of humility or pride or fear could lead to ignorance even after a person hears information. So this brings us then to consider the consequences of ignorance. Now, ignorance has serious consequences, but we mention three consequences or dangers of it in the spiritual realm. First, ignorance can lead a person to become a religious fanatic. A religious fanatic. Now, this is implied in the statement of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. All I'm saying, the first consequence of ignorance is that it can lead to becoming a religious fanatic. Here it reads, Proverbs 19, verse 2 reads, It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. Now, ignorance and zeal can be a deadly combination. An ignorant religious person is an extremely dangerous person. For you see, such a person is convinced that he is right and others are wrong. Now, there's no flexibility to allow such a person to recognize that it is possible that his views could be wrong, even when he thinks the Bible supports him or some other religious book that religious people rely as the source of their authority. So because an ignorant person has zeal, that person is convinced that he or she is right. So the individual is willing to harm, maim others by justifying his or her action. Now, this was the case with Apostle Paul prior to his salvation, as he recounted later after his conversion, recorded for us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. It is, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. See, the apostle was convinced he was fighting to maintain the traditions of his fathers instead of the truth, which is what you find in many, many parts of the world today. People are just fighting to maintain traditions that are not biblical, and they think they're right. Because they say, I'm going to preserve the way of life of my parents, or whatever it is. You don't do that at the expense of truth. So that's what Paul, that was his problem. He thought all the Christians were wrong. And so he went about to try to kill them until the Lord arrested him anyway. So that's why he had no qualms of persecuting Christians. So that's the first consequence of ignorance, turning a person into a very dangerous religious fanatic. Second, ignorance can lead to blasphemy. When we think of blasphemy, we should think about, not only the reviling of God, not saying something bad about God, but violation of his character. So, a believer who acts in ignorance to indicate, for example, that God is not powerful has blasphemed. Let me illustrate what I mean. When we worry, we are in effect blaspheming because we are saying to God that we have encountered a problem he is not capable of handling. That's a blasphemy. Now, this thinking, of course, is a result of ignorance of the true omnipotent God, that he can do whatever he wants to do within his will. And the person is ignorant also of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ during his Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is what the Lord says. Therefore, I tell you, Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? So, what the Lord is saying, don't worry. So, what else do we worry about in life? He covered it here, really. Somewhere, somehow, it's food, shelter, clothing, and all that. That's just mostly, regardless of how people, they don't recognize it, but if you bring down all our things that we worry down, they come to those, one way or the other. But even if you don't fit in this, the point still remains the same. You're not supposed to worry. So when you worry as a believer, then you are blaspheming God. Just get that in your mind. So that you know that anytime you start worrying, you say, I've started blaspheming against my God. Now for the unbeliever, of course, his blasphemy is mostly that of speaking ill of God and things that he does not understand. Now, this is the reason Peter described evil men who do not understand God as being blasphemous in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Second Peter, chapter 2, verse 12. Second Peter, chapter 2, verse 12 reads, but these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. So, when a person is ignorant, that person is bound to blaspheme God. Thought, and of course the deadliest consequence of ignorance is eternal destruction. As stated, for example, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. It reads, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Now, eternal destruction then comes because a person does not know that salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. As stated, for example, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It is salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Person who doesn't know that, In other words, a person who does not know that salvation is obtained through faith in Jesus Christ seeks to establish right relationship or personal righteousness through works, because the person does not know that righteousness is obtained through faith in Jesus Christ. Thus, Apostle Paul could speak of those who are trying to establish right standing with God by their own works as ignorant of how to obtain God's righteousness by faith, as he referred to in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. It is, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. God's righteousness comes by faith. It is righteousness given because of faith in Christ. So it is because then of ignorance of what Christ has done for us on the cross, and a person's effort to establish relationship with God on the individual's works that are included in the darkening of a person's understanding that the Apostle Paul used to describe those who are alienated from God in the passage we cited previously. You don't need to write it again, but I just listen. Let me read it. Ephesians 4, verse 18. It reads, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So, when a person is ignorant of how to have the right standing with God, they try to do it on their own, and they get into all kinds of problems. Now, there is no doubt then that ignorance has disastrous consequences of eternal separation from God for the unbeliever, but it still has an unpleasant consequence for a believer. Now, ignorance of truth on the part of a believer leads to living a lifestyle that is incompatible with truth. Now, as a believer lives that kind of lifestyle, the person remains without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the situation with many Christians. Ignorance keeps them from recognizing that they are not controlled by the Holy Spirit because of their lifestyles. Many Christians, they say, yeah, Holy Spirit. But that's just a word. They don't have a clear understanding of what it really means, that he's a person, or that he controls or doesn't control a believer. So they walk around in their own energy of the flesh and think they are doing something, when in fact they are not. So this, of course, was a concern Apostle Peter had in his epistle. He cautioned believers not to live a certain kind of lifestyle, as stated in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. First Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It reads, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. There's a lifestyle associated with ignorance. Many people don't realize that. Many of us all over the world, in this country, are living completely in ignorance. And that reflects in the way we treat other people, how we think, how we speak, and so on. All those manifest ignorance in us. But those ignorance can be expelled again through truth, learning the truth. So this is what the Apostle Peter here is talking about. Those who live in ignorance as unbelievers because they don't know God's word. Now, it's not only though that ignorance leads to wrong lifestyle for a believer, but it also causes such a person to live in slavery or being submitted to Satan as it pertains to the fear of death, as the human author of Hebrews clearly stated in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It reads, "Since the children have flesh and blood," he, that's the Lord Jesus, "he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." Satan has, if a believer is ignorant of what death is all about, they will live in fear of it, because Satan has seized that person because of ignorance and intimidates the person with death. So anyway, we should recognize then that ignorance has disastrous consequences on both unbelievers and believers. And so we should do everything in our power to dispel ignorance in spiritual matters. Now this, of course, does not come overnight. It doesn't come overnight. It requires years and years of learning the word of God. One of the things that I believe this church, we thank God that we have a website. And I usually tell people who come here first, go back, get yourself occupied for the last 20 years, really, of a study. That's what, out there in the website. So you, because the more you learn all those things we studied for years and years and years, the more you bring up your knowledge. Don't think you get it overnight. But if only all you're doing is remaining with what we're studying currently, you're not going to completely drive up that ignorance. Because there are so many things we have covered in years past, which of course it doesn't harm or hurt anyone, which I also recommend. Even if you had those things, go back and re-listen to them. You'll be surprised how much you learn. Anyway, so elimination of ignorance about spiritual matters as related to the Holy Spirit enables a believer to avoid any kind of deception regarding the Holy Spirit and his ministry in the Church of Christ. And it is this fact then that the apostle intended to convey to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, that we're studying, although it does not appear to be the case. But we will argue, though, that unless that is the intention of the apostle, then verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 12 that we're studying is a needless declaration. So anyway, the apostle began verse 2 that we're studying. He said, "You know." That's how he begins. "You know." The form of the Greek word in the plural, translated "you know," is one Apostle Paul used more times in his first epistle to the Corinthians than any other of his epistles. You see, the apostle used the Greek form translated "you know" 27 times in his epistles, but 12 of these in his first epistle to the Corinthians. Of course, 10 of these usages are in form of questions to remind the Corinthians of something they should have known, either because of what he taught them or because of their previous experience. For example, he reminded the Corinthians that the Holy Spirit resides in them individually and corporately, although through a question as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It reads, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." So the question, this question assumes though, the apostle had taught them this truth about their relationship with the Holy Spirit. So he appealed to that. Now, he also appealed to what they knew through their human experiences as Corinthians as it relates to athletic competition in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It reads, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize." So the Corinthians were aware of what the apostles stated regarding runners, because they have observed the individuals who participated in the various races. So his question, although rhetorical, assumes something that they know for certain. So the interesting thing then is that, as we have stated, the apostle used the form of Greek word translated, you know, 10 times in a question format, but in our passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, he deviated from his pattern using a question. Now, one of the things very intriguing to me is the philanthropic truth, apply principles. Now, one of the time when we studied in the Exodus, I did establish that principle. When a person, you know, maintains a certain pattern, as soon as they deviate from it, something has gone wrong or right. Find out which one. Many of you probably, I don't know if you remember that. But I use it a lot when I deal with people. There's a pattern that I observe with a person. When that changes, I know something has gone right or wrong. Now, that's what we all should do when a person deviates from a pattern. Find out something has happened. And so, here, the Apostle Paul has deviated from the pattern of question, question, question. Now he makes a statement. Why is that? Well, we're out of time. So next week, come back by God's grace, we answer it. However, let me end though by reminding you of the message of the section that we are studying, which is, you should be well informed about spiritual matters to avoid any spiritual deception. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here or someone listening over the internet. You are not a believer in Christ. You're a religious person. You may even have been baptized through water, but you died as a doornail. That is to say, if you drop dead right now, you spend eternity in the lake of fire, a place of horror, horrible torture. But the Son of God, who created it, came down to ensure that you don't go there. The fact that you're hearing what you're hearing now is a manifestation of his love for you. So he came and took on human nature so that he can go through this planet. He taught, he He did miracles to show that he is the Son of God. After that, after he's finished, because he's the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world, he had to be crucified on our behalf. So when they came to arrest him, he just made a simple question. Who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they all hit the ground. But he eventually gave them permission and they arrested him. Took him, made a trial, a mock trial of him, condemned him to death. So he carried his cross to go where he was to be crucified. On the way, he staggered and fell, and somebody had to help him get there. And while there, they laid him on that cross and began to nail him. Now, I want you to just have a mental picture of what Christ must have been doing. You just say, a small pin sticks you, you know how you feel, but look at Christ spread out on that cross and nailed, driven through his wrist and feet. And they just went on and on and on until they could drive through. See what he was suffering. See the pain he was in. All because of you. To die for your sins. But he didn't cry. He didn't scream. They lifted that thing up and sank it to the ground. It was still painful on him. He still didn't say, let out a word. But the last 3 hours, when my sins and your sins were being poured and judged on the Son of God, it was so unbearable that he let out that cry, Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken that you may be brought in. He was forsaken that you may have life. How? The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. What are you to believe? Again, the Bible says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing in him, you have life through his name. If you believe, he came and died for you, was buried, resurrected the 3rd day, you will receive eternal life. On the other hand, if you ignore it, my friend, you are condemned already, and you are almost a step close to being in hell. So, now that you still have your breath, believe in him and escape eternal damnation. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to be believers who want to expel ignorance in our souls so as to honor and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. This is our request in Christ's name.